Sorry, I was on for a few minutes and the speaker was not on, so some of my show will not be heard. Okay, so here it is again. It's Solar System and Beyond. I'm reading from www.nasa.gov. The article is dated October 1st, 2017, and it says NASA's Webb Telescope to Witness Galactic Infancy. So I'm going to start reading the article. Scientists will use NASA's James Webb Space Telescope to study sections of the sky previously observed by NASA's great observatories, including the Hubble Space Telescope and the Spitzer Space Telescope, to understand the creation of the universe's first galaxies and stars. So how did the universe's first galaxies and stars form? Scientists sometimes are not so sure. They develop models, but James Webb will help them test those models, because it will be able to see things in, how do I say this, better, or in a better way, more things than the James Webb or the Spitzer Space Telescope. So back to the article. Oh, sorry, there's a nice photo here. It says, the Hubble Ultra Deep Field is a snapshot of about 10,000 galaxies in a tiny patch of sky taken by NASA's Hubble Space Telescope, and it's got a lot of galaxies over there in a little tiny patch. So I think they aimed Hubble in a place that they could never see before, or they never examined before, little dot, and they saw 10,000 galaxies. Now back to the article. After it launches, and when they say it, they mean the James Webb Space Telescope, and it is fully commissioned, scientists plan to focus Webb Telescope on sections of the Hubble Ultra Deep Field and the Great Observatory's Origins Deep Survey. So the Hubble Ultra Deep Field, NASA love these acronyms. NASA is itself an acronym. So Hubble Ultra Deep Field is HUDF. And the Great Observatory's Deep Survey is good. So G-O-O-D-S. That's an interesting way to say it, and it's nice, concise. Back to the article. These sections of sky are among Webb's list of targets chosen by Guaranteed Time observers, scientists who helped develop the telescope and thus get to be among the first to use it to observe the universe. A group of scientists will primarily use Webb's mid-infrared instrument, or MIRI, to examine a section of HUDF, which is the Hubble Ultra Deep Field, near-infrared camera, and Webb's near-infrared camera, NICR cam, to image part of goods. So they're going to look at something that was looked at before, and hopefully they can see things in better detail. Now, I don't know if anybody remembers this, but I had an astronomer on before. He was working for the NASA Goddard Space Center, and they were developing WFIRST. So WFIRST is wide field infrared space telescope, and that's going to look at things like I think dark matter and things like that. And it's commissioned to go in the 2020 sometime. So it's the successor to James Webb. And the thing is, what I see about these things is, okay, now they're developing the WFIRST telescope. When it finally gets built and goes up to space, it takes about 15, 20 years to build it. And will the technology be a bit out of date? Well, it could. Maybe they can put newer technology. But that's one thing with James Webb also. It was first, the plans were drawn up many years ago. Now it's going to go into space. Is it old technology on there first? Is that a question we can ask? But anyway, back to the article. And so says Hans Ulrich Nargard Nielsen, an astronomer at the Danish Space Research Institute in Denmark and the principal investigator for the proposed observations. And quote, by mixing the data from these instruments, we'll get information about the current star formation rate, but we'll also get information about the star formation history. So they're going to look at the present, but also look at the past. So again, these instruments on this James Webb telescope, it's called MIRI, MIRI. So it's a big M, big I, big R, big I. So it's a mid-infrared instrument, MIRI. And that's going to examine the Hubble Ultra Deep Field. They also got something called NIRCAM. So big N, big I, big R, big C, a, small M. It's the near-infrared camera to image parts of goods. So goods is the Great Observatory Origins Deep Surveys. So they're going to use this James Webb telescope to re-examine things that Hubble and Spitzer examined in the beginning, and hopefully they will get some more information and see things they couldn't see before. Back to the article. Pablo Perez Gonzalez, an astrophysics professor at the Complutense University of Madrid in Spain, and one of several co-investigators on Norgard Nielsen's proposed observation, said they will use Webb to observe about 40% of the Hubble Ultra Deep Field area with MIRI. So again, MIRI is mid-infrared instrument. So they're going to look at the infrared part, mid-infrared part of the spectrum that comes from that place, from the Hubble Deep Field. And they're going to look at it in roughly the same location that ground-based telescopes like the Atacama Large Millimeter Array, or ALMA, and the Very Large Telescope Array, VLT, obtained ultra-deep field data. Now I'm just going to go away from the article a bit. Imagine how many telescopes there are around the world and observatories. Now my listeners may know that August 29th, I went to Hawaii, and by September 12th or so, I was on top of Mount Mauna Kea. And if I could have got there earlier, I could have gotten a tour of Keck Observatory. It's one of the big telescopes there. I think Keck helped with the observation and the planning at Saturn. So the people on the Cassini mission got a lot of help. The article said a lot of aloha from Keck. So there was a tour from 10 to 4. I missed it because I got there at 4:30. But there's a lot of observatories all over the world. They're up on mountains where the atmosphere doesn't interfere with things, and it's colder, so you can see things a lot better. So there's all kinds of observatories, and one of them, as I said, is Atacama Large Millimeter Array and the Telescope Array, and these are on a mountain in, I think it's Venezuela or Chile. I hope I'm right. But anyway, so back to the article. The iconic HUDF, so that's Hubble Ultra Deep Field Image, shows about 10,000 galaxies in a tiny section of the sky, equivalent to the amount of sky you would see with your naked eye if you looked at it through a soda straw. So it's a very small part of the sky. Many of these galaxies are very faint, more than 1 billion times fainter than what the naked human eye can see, marking them as some of the oldest galaxies within the visible universe. Now, I'm going to stray a bit from the article, and I know when I was talking about certain galaxies or stars that are very far away, so when they're seeing them, for example, if we have a galaxy that is 10 billion light years away, that means its light took 10 billion years to reach us. So at that time in the age of the universe, there was a different, let's say, for example, now we, in our galaxy, in our Milky Way, there are a lot of stars that have gone supernova, and they have therefore spread different elements around our galaxy. And for example, on Earth, we have iron and oxygen and carbon that have been made in different stars, and when they went supernova, they exploded out their elements, and they dispersed them through the galaxy. So that is why we have all these elements, because there were supernovas, lots of supernovas, that spread them around. Now, when we're looking back 10, 12, 13 billion years at the infancy, early time in our universe, there was probably a lot more hydrogen and a little bit of helium, but a lot more hydrogen, and not as much as these other gases. So they can tell by the content of the gas. For example, if a galaxy is 12 billion light years away, we are looking at about, I think, 1.7 billion years after the universe formed. So there's not going to be as much carbon, oxygen, and nitrogen, or whatever, iron, copper. And these things are made in supernovas, so it takes time. And so when they do observe it, there will be a different spectrum of gases they'll see, and probably a lot more hydrogen. And with James Webb Telescope, they can see these things. Okay, now back to the article. With its powerful spectrographic instruments, Webb will see much more detail than imaging alone can provide. Spectroscopy measures the spectrum of light, as I was talking about, which scientists analyze to determine physical properties of what is being observed, including temperature, mass, and chemical composition. Perez Gonzalez explained this will allow scientists to study how gases transformed into stars in the first galaxies and to better understand the first phases in the formation of supermassive black holes, including how these black holes affect the formation of their home galaxy. Astronomers believe the center of nearly every galaxy contains a supermassive black hole and that these black holes are related to galactic formation. MIRI, which is MIRI, mid-infrared instrument, can observe in the infrared wavelength range of 5 to 20 microns. Perez Gonzalez said they will use the instrument to observe a section of the Hubble Ultra Deep Field in 5.6 microns, which Spitzer is capable of, but that Webb will be able to see objects 250 times fainter with 8 times more spatial resolution. In this case, spatial resolution is the ability of an optical telescope, such as Webb, to see the smallest details of an object. Perez Gonzalez said in the area of the Hubble Ultra Deep Field, they will observe, Hubble was able to see about 4,000 galaxies. He added that with Webb, they will detect around 2,000 to 2,500 galaxies, but in a completely different spectral band, so many galaxies will be quite different from the ones that Hubble detected. So what does that mean, different spectral band? So, for example, hydrogen, if we look at a hydrogen atom, we can see its spectrum. It emits visible light at 4 precise wavelengths, and scientists, when they see these 4 precise wavelengths, they say, aha, that's hydrogen. Now, some atoms, and even hydrogen does this, its electrons are jumping back and forth in its energy levels, and that's why it is emitting these light. It either emits or it absorbs certain wavelengths of light, but it also emits and absorbs very particular wavelengths of light that we can't see. So this is what MIRI will do. It will observe them in the infrared, and very many atoms don't have a visible spectrum or much of a visible spectrum, so scientists will be able to pick out these because we can't see them with our eyes, but they can pick out in the infrared range. So NIRCam is N-I-R cam. It's near infrared cam, which is observing the Great Observatory's Origins Deep Survey, or GOODS. With NIRCam, the team will observe a piece of the GOODS region near their selection of HUDF, which is Hubble Ultra Deep Field. The entire GOODS survey field includes observations from Hubble, Spitzer, and several other space observatories. So says, so explained Perez Gonzalez, and quote, these NIRCam images will be taken in 3 bands, and they will be the deepest attained by any guaranteed time observation team, end quote. NIRCam can observe in the infrared wavelength of 0.6 to 5 microns. So if I can pause here for a second, for example, red light has a very particular wavelength, blue light has a different wavelength, green light has a different wavelength, and so on. So all these lights have different wavelengths. Now, in infrared, there's infrared wavelengths that are different too. So what they're going to do is they're going to observe from 0.6 to 5 microns. So if I can give an example of a wavelength, let's say a radio wave. Sometimes it can be a kilometer or more long. So they are very long waves. And I think the smallest waves, the shortest waves with the most energy, are gamma rays. So they're going to be looking at the infrared wavelength. So Perez Gonzalez explained they will use NIRCam to observe a section of GOODS in the 1.15 micron band, which Hubble is capable of, but that Webb will be able to see objects 50 times fainter and with 2 times more spatial resolution. They will also use it to observe the 2.8 and 3.6 micron bands. Spitzer is able to do this as well, but Webb will be able to observe objects nearly 100 times fainter and with 8 times greater spatial resolution. So that's important to be able to see things in greater detail. And of course, that's very obvious. Okay, because the universe is expanding, light from distance objects in the universe is redshifted, meaning the light emitted by those objects invisible in the redder wavelength by the time it reaches us. The objects farther away from us, those with the highest redshifts, have their light shifted into the near and mid-infrared part of the electromagnetic spectrum. The Webb telescope is specifically designed to observe the objects in that area of the spectrum, which makes it ideal for looking at the early universe. So, as it says here, when something is moving away from us, its light is shifted to the red part of the spectrum. I believe when it's moving towards us, it is moving towards the blue end of the spectrum. Something like when an ambulance comes towards us, it hits us, or no, it drives by us, and then it drives away. So we can hear a shift in the sound waves. It's like, and that's what the light does from these galaxies. So light in the highest, or light, or things that are moving faster away, that means they're farther away, they will be redshifted higher. So when they're redshifted, they are shifted into the mid-infrared part of the electromagnetic spectrum, and Webb will be able to see those in much clearer detail. So says Perez Gonzalez, and quote, when you build an observatory with unprecedented capabilities, most probably the most interesting results will not be those that you can expect to predict, but those that no one can imagine, end quote. The James Webb Telescope, the scientific complement to NASA's Hubble Space Telescope, will be the most powerful space telescope ever built. Webb is an international project led by NASA with its partners, the European Space Agency, ESA, and CSA, which is the Canadian Space Agency. MIRA was built by ESA, the European Space Agency, in partnership with the European Consortium, a group of scientists and engineers from European countries. It was also built from a team from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, and scientists from several U.S. institutions. NIRCam was built by Lockheed Martin and the University of Arizona in Tucson. So that's the end of the article. And again, I am so jealous when I read these articles, because these scientists are doing amazingly interesting stuff. They're looking back in time to see what was happening in the early part of the universe. And also, as maybe I've said before, there's a puzzle. Some astronauts are puzzled as to why, or maybe all astronauts are puzzled, why some black holes become so big. There's no theory, or there might not be a good enough theory to explain why this happens. At our center of our galaxy, at Sagittarius A star, there is a black hole that's about 4.6 million times the mass of the sun. So it weighs 4.6 million suns. In other galaxies, astronomers have seen some black holes are 6, 8, or 10 billion masses of the sun. Why do they become so big? How do they develop? Did they develop after or before? Because apparently what astronomers say is black holes power galaxies. So it's a big mystery. A lot of things in astronomy are mysteries. And that's why when the James Webb Space Telescope goes up, it's going to solve some of these mysteries. So more information about the Webb Telescope is available at www.webb.nasa.gov. So that's www.webb.nasa.gov. Or at nasa.gov, or www.nasa.gov/webb, for more information on the Hubble Space Telescope. You can visit www.nasa.gov/hubble, or for more information about Spitzer Space Telescope, you can visit www.nasa.gov/spitzer. So that's SPITZER. Yes, said I'm Canadian. So now I'm just going to read another article quickly, a couple of minutes. It's dated October 2nd, 2017. It's from www.nasa.gov, and it says Hubble is paving scientific paths for NASA's James Webb Telescope. Okay, here's the article. NASA's Hubble Space Telescope is helping identify potential celestial targets for the James Webb Space Telescope through a series of preparatory science observations to be completed before Webb is ready to make observations of its own. This preparatory science program began in 2016 in response to the desire of astronomers to use Hubble observations to set their stage for Webb. The program marked the first time astronomers were encouraged to submit science proposals for Hubble observations that could pave the way for Webb's observation. So far, 40 proposals have been approved. Using multiple observatories to analyze the same objects can identify aspects of those objects that using only one observatory alone cannot. Well, thank you for listening. This is Marco, and you have been listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9. I'm hoping one day to get Linda. Hoping one day to get an astronomer from JPL to talk about the Cassini mission. So thank you. This is Marco. You have been listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9.